Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Poet Runner. Today, Richard will be speaking to Leo Garcia, the director, creator of Highways, and also an artist.
Well, listeners, we are here with Leo Garcia, who is a multi-talented jack-of-all-trades and master-of-all-trades, and at least in the arts. He might even be a good carpenter, as far as I know. Because he is actually, if he's anybody that is in the visual arts, if you've done a painting and you've stretched a canvas, you've got to measure those, you've got to measure your frame for that. But so Leo, there's so much to talk about with you. Your work as an actor, as a filmmaker, a visual artist. Some of these things I know better than others. For example, your work as a visual artist. I used to work at the Art Students League in New York teaching a serigraphy class, which is basically silkscreen printmaking, which, by the way, was wiped out by Giclée, as it's called now. I mean, that just put the whole business to the skids. So it's an old analog way that some people still use, but. Your work as a visual artist, a filmmaker, an actor, you bring in all of these abilities. I want to start with talking about you as an actor, what you bring to all of these other arts as an actor. And an actor is somebody that works with their voice and with body language and movement. And you can see that in your work as a visual artist. And what I would like to, we talked a little bit earlier about some of the programs that are going on at Highways, and your curatorial taste or sensibilities, I would imagine, are informed by your experiences in these other arts. Am I on the right track with that?
Oh, yeah, of course. Everything comes together. You know, you were talking about all the things that I do. I think the secret to that is just a long life. You know, you keep yourself busy. And one of the things that has kept me busy is one job has always led to another, and my interests have always been served. I came from a family where I was taught to do community work, to work through supporting the community. So even in high school and my early undergraduate years, I was taught by my family that the spirit of service was a part of who we are. And it really, I recognize it as an asset, but not only an asset, but also as a requirement for a better life. So, initially I was wanting to do work in the social sciences world where you go and you, you know, find ways to feed the hungry and, you know, work with people who are in search of a better life. I even in high school, I came across my father had brought home a book by El Teatro Campesino, and it was a small red book called, I believe it was called Actos, which were these political plays that were presented by El Teatro Campesino. And so I had a real love for the language and the craziness, the madness. It seemed, you know, like I could do that at home. So I had my own little company that I created. And also I come from a very contemporary American family. When I was a kid, I'd watch movies, right? So one of my favorite actors at the time was Shirley Temple. So it was sort of this merging of my social science mind, this impact that the Hispano-Mexicano theater, El Teatro Campesino, had on me, and then also the magic of Hollywood. So I had to navigate through all of that and finally found that in theater, you could have it all. You know, that's the place where a political and social and theatrical experience could happen. So it was the mix of all of those together that created the syncretism that satisfies my needs and has brought me to where I am.
Well, I can see all of that working synergistically in your art. For example, in your play cycle, the abduction of Hernan Cortez, the New Mexico cycle, your social science background work comes into play there, because this is a generational history. So it is the specifics of the period and the time and the way people the particular historical moments that are covered in that cycle all draw on that, but at the same time it brings in what we would call the left side of the brain. If we want to call the social science part the right side, the logical linear side, and then there is the imaginative, creative side, and they both come together in that. And obviously, well, you know, anybody that go ahead, please feel free to interrupt.
I think that all of that is true. I think for me, the evolution occurred. I went to New York City after I had a very traditional education. You know, I got an undergraduate degree, then I apprenticed, and then I journeymaned, and then I got an MFA from a conservatory. Then I went to New York and I started to work, and I was an actor. And then I submitted a one-person show that I had developed in a conservatory program about Nathan Leopold, who was a famed murderer who at 7 to 18 years old, he and his partner at the time, Richard Loeb, killed a 14-year-old boy named Bobby. I can't remember his last name right now. But
I can almost remember.
But he, part of my thesis for my graduate program was this one-person show, and I had a colleague who did Richard Loeb, and I did Nathan Leopold, and got picked up by an off-Broadway theater. So I had some material to submit to this very great writer named Maria Irene Fornes. Submitted a play to her, and she hired me as one of her playwrights at a theater, an off-Broadway theater. So she really brought me to this place where, a new place, where I could begin to learn how to learn, because she provided me access, or she taught us. She had a process of teaching that took us through what she didn't identify, but as I matured, I learned a little bit more about the Jungian process of the archetypes and connecting with the collective. So through our process with Irene, who was doing this without naming it, she was just a genius woman who just processed work and knew what she was doing, but didn't name it. So I don't want to say that her process is Jungian. It's just that once I went through her work with her, I learned how to connect to this collective and how to draw story from the wisdom that is greater than me. So in this process, ultimately, my final series of works are this body of plays, or The Abduction of Hernan Cortez, which is a cycle of plays and works that follow the lives of five New Mexican families from 1598 to present time. Two of the works have been produced. One of them is a one-person show called My Alien Abduction. It's the most contemporary of the work. It's the last, this one queer man who's the last in the line of his family, and he doesn't have anything to leave, like the legacy that his other family have, you know, children, because he's queer. So he has only his art, and then he also only has this story of abduction, and his legacy is this story of his own abduction. So the themes of all of these plays are about abduction, the abduction of land, the abduction of self, alien abduction. So it's quite magical in many ways. The last work that I just did, we've just completed the shooting for a film that's part of the series of works. It's called Earth, or The Monster of Tierra Maria. It's a magical, realistic piece that takes place in 1911 New Mexico, and it it also is related to the Frankenstein film that was made in 1911 by Edison on the East Coast.
Oh, yes,
so
yes.
It has this sort of cinematic horror storytelling about a real life imagined. You know, my stories, I'm not a historian really, I'm a storyteller, but I tell stories based on historical situations, like events that even happened in my family. So that's a little bit about how I've become a writer. And then the drawings came out of the same process with Irene. I'm not really an ego-centered artist, meaning I don't have any opinion about the work other than I'm able to access the collective and to create these balanced, because balance is really important for me, images that I'm really happy to have that process to scribe plays and then to transfer information from the collective onto paper or in any media that allows me some entry.
Well, I noticed that. I mean, you've been modest about your visual art accomplishment, but you do you have, looking at the samples that I've seen, you have a mastery of pen and ink drawing, photo collage, digital photography. These are not these are things that really require skill. It's more than dabbling. That's why I said at the beginning that you struck me as a jack of all trades and a master of all trades. So, and your oil pastels, this is, for listeners who are not familiar with working in the visual arts, we were talking before and I mentioned to Leo that I used to work at the Art Students League teaching a class in serigraphy, which was silkscreen printing. And talking to the other teachers at that league, some of them were oil painters, some of them were gouache painters, sculptors, and so on. And what they taught, the way they taught was the technique, the mastery of the medium. They didn't tell you what to draw, what to paint, how to paint it, what style to use, but just how to master the tools of your craft. So what I see in your work, you do have a mastery of the tools of this craft, and it's more than dabbling, it seems to me. So and it's the same thing with your writing. And listeners, Leo's being excessively modest. If you are not familiar with his work, you should be. And by the way, your modesty, it speaks well of you too. I mean, there are people, of course, who are full of themselves, but. We were talking earlier about you want to recede into the background and let the work speak for itself, which I think is totally admirable and courageous even to say, I am putting this out there for you to see. I am not, this isn't about me. This is about a relationship between my work and you, the viewer, the listener, the seer. So that is something that I really like about your whole person as an artist, your whole artistic personality has this.
Well, yeah, I did a work called Benevolence, which was an installation where you had to actually step into it. And people would say, well, what does it mean? And I don't really have the answers for what it means. But the point was for them to step into this installation, to sit in this chair and to look inside this window. And as they looked inside, they could see their reflection to eternity because it's a wall of mirrors. And it's called Benevolence, which is just about giving, which is really all that I have is to give. But I was always concerned when people were saying, well, tell me what it means. And I had to actually literally build an installation where one could sit in it and then kind of have their own experience and then come back and tell me what it means. That's the answer to the work. But I'm happy to share the work. Anybody who wants to see it, go to leogarcia.com. There's the visual art page. That's you can get an idea of some of the work. the drawing, interestingly enough, has always been a struggle for me. So I've been taking figure class drawings off and on through my entire life, but there are people who go in there and just master figure drawing, you know, the pencil to paper, and you just, I always feel very inferior. But I still practice, and I do find that the more you practice, the better you get.
Of course, sure.
Yeah, that's the figure drawing. That's mostly my ink to paper now. But I love it. It also helps, I don't know, it centers me. All of the work, anytime I'm creating work, it helps me to balance my life, because the impulse for me is to create balance, and that keeps me very busy, because as I was telling you earlier, in the world of entropy where there's chaos and randomness, it's comforting to have access to some sort of design and order, although, you know, that's not necessarily art, because art should and oftentimes is very messy.
So, of course.
I'm caught between lots of different places. You know, my environment is messy, but I certainly know where everything is.
And in terms of your work as a filmmaker, you did a short documentary called 10 Minutes is 2 Hours. And for listeners, most of our listeners are familiar with a linear documentary, talking heads, and so forth. And 10 Minutes is 2 Hours is much more than that. There's a certain visual splendor to it. There is, one of the ways of, for listeners who are not necessarily familiar with the language of cinema, what Leo does in this film is he juxtaposes images which produce a particular meaning or a response in the viewer. So it's not like this is the, you know, here is this, and then there's this, then there's this. No, it's more than adding one and one and one. What I'm trying to say is, if you're used to arithmetic, this movie is more like algebra. Let's put it that way. So
yeah, a little bit about that. That was a film that I produced. It's a short-form documentary that we shot in South Sudan. And it's really, from my point of view, as the producer, a commentary on the cultural exploitation of the people of Sudan by, in many ways, religious American and African thought, you know. But it was a collection that was, I worked with my brother who really was very a compassionate man, and he's been in support of the African strife. You know, he provided computers that actually are generated by the sun, because in some of those places they just don't have electricity. And so that was one of the things that he wanted to go to. He had friends in Sudan, and he, really this film was his idea. He wanted to take one of the political a person who was really wanting to, gosh, let me see, I'm trying to put it in a way that's the reason why. What I'm really saying is that this is not my idea. What I did for my brother, and then we brought in Patrick Kennelly, who directed it. And Patrick Kennelly comes from that school's film school background, so he understood a lot of the filmmaking that we were exploring in this film, you know, using impressionistic styles and referencing video works of Godard and Marker, and following our interest in exploring it through an experimental process. We went to Sudan without any preconceived ideas, which is the way we wanted to create a documentary about what was going on there. And when we walked out of there, it was this idea of the politically charged – And can you hold 1 second just one?
Sure.
I'm working with an artist, someone who doesn't speak English. 1 second. I'm so sorry.
No, that's
unusual.
All right.
I'm in highways, so there's a lot of things happening. So you can hear all the noise. Just tell me. Wait,
yeah, that's well. Well, listeners, I mean, this goes right to the point of what I was saying earlier about Leo, is that he is at work. He is dealing. He's taking the trouble and the time to talk to us. At the same time, he's doing the artistic work of highways right at the same time. So this is a guy that can keep a lot of balls in the air. And of course, he has. His answers have been great. He's given us a lot of attention on this, but at the same time, he's got things happening. So yeah, that's great, Lee.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry about that. But
no,
just to end the story about 10 minutes to 2 hours, I think it's also a great film. But I also want to credit the filmmaker, the director, Patrick Kennelly, and then my brother, whose intentions were so great. You know, my idea was just to make it happen. You know, to produce it,
yeah.
Which is another thing that I do. Yeah.
Well, that's necessary too. You need somebody to make it happen. I mean, there's a lot of great, there are all kinds of wonderful things that never get off the drawing board unless somebody is there to motivate all the other people involved and get it happening. And and that was a characteristic of your term as artistic director of Highways Performance Space, and now you are the executive director. So you've got a terrific venue going there, and it is a Highways Performance Space is, of course, performance in the broadest sense of the word. You've got a film festival going on this weekend. Tell us a little bit about that, if you will.
Right. Well, again, I became the executive director, I was fortunate enough to have Patrick Kennelly as the artistic director. He started as an LA County intern in 2004, and he's been working with me for 20 years, and he has such a broad knowledge of the arts. You know, I come from a theatrical place, as I told you, you know, as an actor and then as a playwright, but Patrick brings to this space a performance art history. You know, he understood and grasps a lot of things that I've learned over the last 20 years being a part of Highways. And so we've developed this film festival, which really served to save Highways during the pandemic, because we had to create a virtual space for our community to, you know that we were still presenting. So we had, this is actually our fourth year. We started the first year, you know, before COVID, but last couple of years before this year were digital, and we attempted some live presenting too. What it is, it's a showcase of work that you know, exists outside of what the traditional ideas of filmmaking is.
Yes.
So we have narrative and non-narrative works that deal with deliberately, in a very deliberate way, you know, extreme, confrontational, unusual works that address social political issues and also taboo subject matters. So we're really in line with Highway's mission, which is always challenging the conventional assumptions of art and sexual mores and, you know, those things that we're still to this day, you know, struggling to present without censorship. You know, we actually, our catalog got censored because of a couple of the images. So we had to negotiate with the printers on how to get our catalog printed. And the only way they would do it, they chose two photos. And they said the only way would be to blur them or to replace them. So we just asked them to put the word censored over the images and print the book so that we remember well that we are still to this day being censored for the ideas that we want to put forth that are, you know, political, social, personal, and artistic. So, you know, it's a festival of auteur films. We encompass genre films, experimental films, animated films, documentaries, and it's the works are inspired by the festival itself is inspired by Jean Cocteau's festival, which was called the Festival du Film Maudit, which means
yes.
cursed
mm-hmm.
films.
Yes.
And so it was presented only once in 1949. And so now we've revised it, and we call it Film Maudit 2.0.
And are these all new works, or are they some of the some older works, something?
We really go for new works, newly released works, or works that are looking for distributors. This is our biggest year ever, so we have both a physical and a virtual presentation of the works. We have 18 feature films. We have 11 short programs. We have a couple of retrospectives of young filmmakers who are or filmmakers who have been presenting or developing works throughout on their own, sort of DIY style. We have live music events with artists who've created new music scores to early films of the avant-garde. And we also have our AOX and our Behold series. And AOX is just my way of presenting Latinx works. I always have a little trouble with the word Latinx slipping, you know, coming out of my mouth. So I just chose it to be AOX, and that's a cool series of works by Latinx artists. And our Behold series is LGBTQ new works, which both of those series both feature both film and live performance. We have Guillermo Gomez Peña coming on January 28th. That's next Saturday, not this Saturday, a week from this Saturday. And if you don't know Guillermo Gomez Peña's work, oh my gosh, this is one of the great performance artists, binational Mexican and American artists who will be presenting work here on the 28th. It's a must-see. If you want to see it, let me know. It'll sell out, and I'll get you in. It'd be great to have you.
Oh, sure. I'd love to.
Yeah. Saturday the 28th at 8:30 p.m. and you can get you can call me, I'll get you tickets. But anybody who's listening, if they want to make reservations, just go to highwaysperformance.org and we'll be there.
Yeah, and check out the website and look at all of the terrific programming that they have got going there right now, the rest of this month and into next month. It's a real Highways Performance Space is a real treasure, and it is in such capable hands with Leo as artistic as executive director and Patrick Kennelly, who is a filmmaker who came up in the ranks there as the artistic director. And just a quick glance at the programming, you will be astonished. It's comprehensive, and there is something for everyone there. We're almost out of time, Leo, and I want to thank you for giving your time to us. Leo's a busy man. He's right at Highways, and he's, like I say, he's juggling a lot of balls in the air. So we really appreciate this conversation with you, Leo. And also check out Leo's website, leogarcia.com. You can see all of you can get a sample of all of his work there, and it is well worth checking out. And anything else, Leo, any final words?
No, I just appreciate everything you're doing. I love talking about Highways and certainly any of the work that we're presenting here. So it's an opportunity for us to get people to take a look at what we're doing. We've been here 34 years and hopefully another 30 and beyond. So thank you for thinking of us.
You're welcome. Listeners, we've been talking to Leo Garcia, Executive Director of Highways Performance Space, a filmmaker, an actor, a curator, a wonderful visual artist. Check out his website and check out Highways, absolutely. And once again, thank you for listening to the poet half of Poet Runner.
All right, thank you for listening, and please come check us out again.